Does the banshee exist, and does it scream in your face when someone's about to die? Did the Nazis study occult magic? These are just some of the questions that we will attempt to answer on This Paranormal Life. I'm your host for today, Roy Powers, joined by my professional buddy, Kit Greer. How are you doing today, Kit?
I'm doing great, Roy.
Have you had a mystical week? Have you had a paranormal week?
It's been insane. The other night, I watched an Iranian horror movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is one of the big films of last year.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was all about paranormal hauntings in Iran. The djinn, I think, is like the local legend.
Whoa.
So we'll have to hopefully cover that in a future episode.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Well, I hope it didn't cover the legend of the Maryland goat man.
Oh!
The motherfucking goat man.
Oh! He's killing me. Oh!
He's getting you. How did
Jesus!
He get in here?
Oh!
This is in Maryland. So if you haven't listened to this podcast before, and presumably you haven't, what we do is we take, I guess, like a paranormal instance case study of mm-hmm. someone who has had a paranormal experience mm-hmm. with either aliens, Bigfoot, Sasquatches, lizard men, any crazy
Absolutely.
Thing, and we'll examine it as professional paranormal investigators
mm-hmm.
and decide whether it's
yes.
legit or not. I hope you prepared yourself for a bone-chilling tale about the legend of the Maryland Goatman.
I know zero. I'm going to bet.
Okay. He's not real?
Does he do what he says in the tin? Is this... Are we talking 50-50? Is this half goat, half man?
Some of the encounters are so different in description that it's hard to tell what exactly this creature is. And also, I find one of the weirdest things about this is, yes, he is half goat and half man, and he's some sort of beast monster. But also, he just carries an axe everywhere he goes. Any encounter, he's always carrying an axe
so
as well.
So he doesn't have hooves. We've established that much.
Oh, no, he has hooves.
Oh,
but that's not his primary. That's not his primary weapon. It's like if Bigfoot existed, but also like had a machine gun.
Oh.
He's a monster, but also he's wielding.
Jesus.
So to start us off, we have to go back to Maryland, 1971.
Okay, let's do it.
Jim Gilbert is a 21-year-old university student who's rooming with the Orman family for the summer. You know, university's expensive.
Yeah, of
you
course.
You can stay with a family. Makes it cheaper.
Yeah.
It was husband, wife,
and very
young...
believable so far.
Yeah. Don't hold on to that. and young daughter, Natalie, who was a sweet, friendly kid. And now, more than anything in the world, Natalie loved her dog, Ginger.
Mm.
Adorable little dog. It was a golden retriever. They were inseparable. One night, when Jim's walking through the woods with his girlfriend, having a romantic late-night stroll, they stopped and saw what appeared to be a tall figure, much like a man, running across one of the fields in front of them.
So nothing out of the ordinary. Yet.
Nothing out of the ordinary so far. The figure was tall
uh-huh.
and moved
uh-huh.
very oddly.
Oh.
As if he possessed the legs of a goat? So
said no one ever. No one has ever said that.
You're like, yeah, nothing weird. Nothing weird so far.
I just like to imagine, like, you know, this couple strolling along. You know, they're just totally infatuated with each other. And then one saying, "That guy's walking." And then one goes, "A lot like a goat." Oh my god, yes.
I was just thinking the goat thing. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, Jim's quote, which I actually heard him say from his face. Which I don't personally believe to be politically correct anymore, is that he moved like a mental patient.
Oh.
I think that's on the iffy. This was 1971, so we'll excuse Jim from that, because I don't think that's a universal walk.
Yeah.
Now, as the creature reached the end of the field, he must have heard Jim and his girlfriend because he stopped dead in his tracks, pausing right there at the side of the forest. At that moment, the creature let out a horrific cry that to this date, Jim cannot describe, as it wasn't something from a human or an animal.
Not even a goat?
No, well, I don't know,
actually. You set me up here.
I was like, Jim, are you sure you actually didn't hear a goat? No, you're right. Now that you say it was a bah, like goat noise. Yeah.
Which is funny, because isn't it goats that shout like a man?
Or the devil. No, what were you going to say?
Sorry.
What?
They're like goats, whenever they, like, you can look it up on YouTube, whenever they yell, they're like,
yeah. Like those, he was like a meme, the screaming goats.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
For a while. Maybe he just hasn't. Well, this is 1971, so it was pre-memes.
Yeah, pre-memes, pre-goats. This guy had never seen a goat before. Anyway, I'm getting too real.
Well, the next day, Jim bumps into Natalie, the daughter of the family that he's staying with over the summer.
Cool.
And she's crying. She's in tears because she's lost Ginger, her little golden retriever. Uh-huh. So being the kind-hearted 21-year-old that Jim is, he says that he'll help her look for it. Now, at this point, it's getting pretty late in the evening. It's dark. It's dark in the woods.
Dog's dead. I'm so, Ginger is gone. Move on.
I'd love that, where it's like, he goes off to the woods with his girlfriend. It's like, so where are we going to... The dog's dead, sweetheart. He's dead. There's no point.
We got to move past this. I know, it's like...
You don't remember what we saw last night? What we heard?
I like the idea as well. It's like, of course I'll help you. Actually, it's 6 p.m.
Yeah, it's pretty
you know
dark
what? Let's say we turn in. It's like, I can hear the dog. No, he's dead.
He's gone. Those are just the memories of him slipping away.
Right, I'm out here.
as Jim and his girlfriend pass the old railroad tracks.
That doesn't sound good.
Nothing's going to be good near the old railroad tracks. It's like passing the old Spencer mansion. Like, yeah. Just don't do it. It's a terrible idea. That they notice something up ahead on the floor, just lying there, motionless.
Whoa.
It looks like a small creature. As Jim approached it, chills went down his spine. He knew they were in trouble. They didn't find Ginger. They found her severed head.
Shut up.
Yeah, bro. Severed head. It had been cut clean off of her body.
Oh my God.
Now this is a testament. This is directly from Jim.
Was she dead?
Jim says, what was worse was that we couldn't find the rest of her. We looked for it. There wasn't even a blood trail. A lot of people said a dog or coyote did it, but they would have left a big mess. Ginger's head was severed by something very sharp, like an axe. Now, as I said earlier, I don't know how much you know about the legend of the Goat Man, but one of the weirdest things about him is that he carries an axe.
Okay.
Which is like, that's what a man would do if he wanted to hurt people.
Yeah.
Like, if you're already the strength of a beast, you don't need an axe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not good.
If you're gonna, if we're talking about mythical beasts, like, I mean, they're gonna be super strong.
Imagine, like, Nessie had a knife or something. Like, why? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, did you know he carries around an AK-47?
AK-47. So good. Like, the moment you harpoon him, he just starts spraying bullets into the air.
I know.
All right, well, at this point, Jim's starting to panic. He's freaking out because he doesn't know what to make of this. But before he has any time to even process what has happened, he hears a shuffling noise in front of him on the tree line.
Such a bad day.
It was dark, but it was just light enough for Jim to make out that it was a man. A man who, to this day, Jim swears, was wielding an axe. So, what do you think? Is this possibly just a man with an axe?
I would say it's definitely what it... How could it be anything else?
Well, this is what he's wondering. Could this be the figure that killed Ginger? Is this the same one that they saw yesterday running through the field?
Oh my God,
All of a sudden, Jim hears the same blood-curdling cry that he heard the night before. Whoa. Without a second thought, Jim and his girlfriend flee the scene. Was that a man imitating a goat with an axe? Or was that, in fact, a half-goat, half-man holding an axe?
Mental patient.
A mental patient with an axe.
So, blood-curdling scream.
Yeah. I was watching this documentary on it, which had the testimony.
I feel like documentary is a strong term. That implies something actually happened.
Well, the noise, the cry that they tried to imitate, which I hopefully was Jim giving them kind of an idea as to what it sounded like.
Could you please make that noise?
It was like a... So, like, maybe not as high pitch as that, maybe a bit lower. I was trying to get the goat kind of...
One more time, please.
I could never make that noise again.
Okay.
So you'll just have to.
Because that was a little bit
clip.
Pigeon. It was like.
I was trying to do that. You know, like the something along those lines. Now, I wish I could say the Ginger was the first and last victim.
But unfortunately, she's only the start of an outbreak of disappearing family pets that went on to fan the flame that is the legend of the Goatman.
Whoa.
So she was just the start. All of a sudden, more pets start disappearing.
So timeline, this was when?
That was 1971.
1971. Wow.
But that was not the first encounter of the Goatman.
Whoa, take
so
us back.
So what you're saying is, so Jim came at this situation with already the knowledge that some sort of goat-like man exists in Maryland. Because because it's folklore, it's legend.
At that point, it exists.
What I'm going to do now is take you back to the origins of the Goatman. Okay. And let's find out why people think this creature could exist.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Let's take
a, so the legend of the goat, of a goat-like man has circulated in Maryland since the early 1900s.
Wow.
That's how far we're going back. There's been hundreds of sightings, dozens of unexplained missing pets, and missing family members all around the same area, blamed on a creature they believe to be the Goatman.
Uh-huh.
An example of one of the earliest cases will take us back to the 1930s, where according to the research of Bill Livingston, a professional Goatman researcher, there was a family...
Nope.
You honor, as a professional paranormal investigator, you should honor the dedication that Bill Livingston has dedicated to a lifelong search for the Goatman.
Respect.
Just like we have dedicated countless years of our lives.
I mean, you can almost say that we're so deep in it now, we kind of can't get out anymore.
We're like ghosts ourselves.
We're paranormals of
our
ourselves.
Family members don't see us anymore. We don't talk
to the outside.
Heck, we're
disappearing members of society. Hell, I have an axe in my hand right now. Who am I to judge?
Are you a goat, bro? What's the point of my... He's got hooves! He's got hooves! Well, the 1930s story takes us back to a family that lived in the rural area of Maryland, and they're named the Sullivans. I actually have a creepy-ass photo of the Sullivans.
Let's see it.
Like, freaking, like, straight out of a horror film.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, 1930s.
To those listening, I mean, this thing is like... I mean, this photo is so washed out. It's blown out. They might as well be sand people.
Yeah, it's hard to tell at this point.
They're like a light shade of gray. Yeah, it's one of those old-timey photos where everyone is just frowning at the camera.
But like hands on laps, hands like on very stern face.
Even the babies are frowning somehow.
Yeah.
Like it's all like 2D. They're just facing the camera. It's very disturbing.
It's menacing, right? Like that's creepy enough, not even knowing what happened to the family.
Yeah.
That family, the Sullivans, lived a typical normal life until one day, the mother, Mary Sullivan, and her infant child went missing.
Whoa.
Their bodies were never found.
Whoa.
Soon after that, the father and younger son also went missing. Now, Bill, our professional Goatman researcher, says it's as if someone was stalking the family and picking them off one by one.
I'm confused. So the mother and infant got abducted.
They got abducted.
And then the dad and kid got abducted? So who's left?
A couple of them. And I think maybe they might have got abducted as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Apparently, the area around their house is still to this day where many of the Goatman sightings take place.
Wow.
So we'll get on a little bit later as to what we think his motivations are. Because at this point, he just seems like he's pissed.
He's
just angry and just has like found an axe.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants to like wreck people. But also, like, this is, what, 1930s? And he's been cited up to, like, this current... Well, I don't know about this current year. We're still early on for the Goatman to show his face.
Yeah.
But, like, what is that like? He's going to be, like, 80 years old now.
Yeah.
The Goatman. So there has to be some sort of supernatural forces at play.
For sure.
Unless he's, like, banging goats and then making these out here. Making these in the woods.
Did it ever come up in your research that...
Extensive research, please.
Extensive years. Of research.
I am Bill Livingston. It's my other persona. It's my screen name. Goatman 69.
Whenever you speak in this podcast, whenever you start talking about the Goatman, you just put on small spectacles.
Yeah. These are my Bill glasses.
Then, of course, one of the classic images of Satan.
Yeah.
Is like a goat man.
Oh yeah, like a fawn goat devil man. It came up a little bit. I looked into some of the origins of that, but like it's interesting. We'll get into it. Like half of his origins are quite like scientifically explained, and other ones are like pretty demonic and like creepy ass shit. So
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix. It's a bit of a mix. But we'll fast forward from the 1930s to the late 1950s. Now, there's a family living in Mishaville called the Glasses, who had a little boy named Bobby. All right.
That's a good name for a little boy.
One night, Bobby's playing in the backyard, and his father comes out to check on him. Now, his father is a tough-ass man. He's a strong man.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is what, late 1950s?
And where do they live again?
Mishaville. So it's in Maryland.
Okay, it's in Maryland. It's all in Maryland. Okay.
It's all in Maryland. Yeah, he's very territorial.
I feel like there's some tough guys living in Maryland.
Well, this dude, Bobby's dad, like, he's just out of the Korean War. He's a Korean War vet.
Jesus.
He's seen some shit.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Half man, half goat's not going to scare him.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Or would it? Bobby's dad fled into the night, leaving his child as bait.
He threw his child into the jaws of the goat,
freaking
man.
Freaking goats.
He actually went back to Korea.
He actually dropped on his knee and swore allegiance to the goat man.
Immediately.
Claiming, I have testimony here, I will bring you more children should you spare my life.
Everyone else is like, it's just a goat. It's literally, there's no man. It's a goat.
It's a goat. It's just a goat by his axe
severe,
collection. Yeah, he freaked
severe
out.
Severe PTSD. I love that. Just a goat. Oh my God!
No!
I swear allegiance!
I'll bow down to thee, goat lord!
I'll bring you children's blood! Not again. Not again, Dad.
Let's pretend like Bobby's dad is not a man who's not easily spooked.
Yes.
Okay? But in the darkness, at the end of the forest, he can see a tall, dark figure. Something about this doesn't feel right. Maybe it's the goat legs the man possesses. So he yells at Bobby. He goes, Bobby, get in the house. Bobby, go back in the house, he cries. Probably, I don't know. So Bobby runs back into the house. And as soon as Bobby's safe, the father approaches the figure. And he starts yelling at it, trying to intimidate him. Telling him, you know, get out of here, get. But instead of running away, the creature lets out a harrowing cry.
Is it a blood-curdling scream?
It is a blood-curdling scream. Not like anything he's ever heard before.
That was a turkey.
Whatever. It's a turkey, man. The figure turns and leaves. And yeah, it's lucky too, because Bobby's dad was probably crapping himself.
Yeah, for sure.
I just imagine Bobby as a kid being like, oh, Dad, you're not scared, right? You fought in the war. Not against goat men. You stupid little shit.
I know.
Against regular men. That night, this is only the beginning of the night, by the way. That night, Bobby's sleeping in his bed, and he's awoken by a quiet scratching sound filling
Jesus,
his room.
That's awful.
I know, right? The video I was watching, Bobby was telling this story, but at this point, this is 1950s, so Bobby's like 60 years old.
Yeah.
It was really kind of sad. It was like this 16-year-old dude, and he was like watery-eyed, being like, I know I was a kid and no one believes me, but I swear to God this happened. And
wow.
I was like, oh shit, Bobby. Like, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to continue to take the piss out of you though, real quick.
For sure.
But,
little
it,
bitch.
Was,
a little crying.
Yeah.
A little goat scared you. Sorry.
he leans up in bed and he looks towards the window and he can see something clawing against the glass, looking inside the window at him. Like, He's freaking scared. Like, he lets out this terrified scream, calling for his dad. Dad, dad! His dad runs into the room, and the figure just takes off running, bolts it from the window. And Bobby's dad grabs his gun, leaves
dude.
The house,
yes, dude.
Runs outside. Creature's already gone. It's already gone.
Yeah.
So it's dark, you know, you're crapping yourself. After that, like, you're not want to go back in, like, back out there looking for it. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, well, wait till the morning, at least, before we go hunt this thing down, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Bobby and his father, they're going to go out and leave the house, search for any clues as to what had attacked them last night. But as soon as they leave their door, they notice their front yard, and it's covered in hoof prints.
That's pretty badass.
Crazy, right?
That's pretty
Actual
good.
Hoof prints. So none of this just like, I swear it touched me and I felt the presence of something evil.
Yeah.
Freaking indentations on the ground of a creature that was there.
Yeah.
That's basically DNA. That's DNA
it
on
is.
Mother Earth.
That's like a little bit of proof.
If they had had that in Making a Murderer, boom, done.
I know.
Hooves. It was the goat man.
Netflix that whole series.
Exactly.
Sure. That's why this show never got made. That's why the goat man never became a Netflix series. Because there's too much evidence.
Dude, I forgot about this. It gets even creepier, okay? So get this. Years later, Elliot Forbes, who is a local social anthropologist, realized that the land that the Glasses house was built on was the exact same property that belonged to the Sullivan family that had disappeared in the 1930s.
No,
yes.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that crazy? That family that like disappeared were hunted off. It's the exact same location where Bobby and Mr. Glass lived in Maryland.
How insane is that? I thought you were going to say that it was an ancient goat burial site.
Yeah, and they are just like, we're going to put your sandbox over here. That little hole's where I'm going to take a shit. Just like disrespecting royal goat land. And he's just so pissed off. He has to come like hunt them all down.
That's crazy though. So the exact same land.
I know, right? And Elliot Forbes, he's not even like a crazy like paranormal investigator. Yeah. He's a freaking social anthropologist.
Yeah.
You know, that's a
I barely know what
trust.
That is, but that is like, trustworthy.
It's long, man. That's all you gotta know. It's like a long it's word. Long as hell. So at this point in Maryland, the tale of the goat man has become legend. It's common folklore to the people of this area. Or is it more than just a tale? We're gonna jump forward even further to, I couldn't find out the date, but judging by the testimony and the man's age, it was within the last 10, 15 years.
Okay.
So it's very, very relevant.
Yeah.
Okay? One night, Brandon Johnson is up with his girlfriend at a place called Lover's Lane. Was that, what was that?
Oh,
is that the freaking
goat? Oh my
god,
it's a door. Yeah. Scratch, scratch, scratch.
I've heard of doggy style, but goat style? She's like, get out, Brandon. Get out. This isn't happening anymore.
My family were killed by the goat man, okay?
You have zero respect. So they're parked up there with another car who are also, quote, unquote, involved. Those are Brandon's words. Brandon's words.
Adults, Brandon, you just tell us what you're doing.
They were banging up there. At one point, Brandon catches something out of the corner of his eye. Boobs. No, it's not. As if like this story is just Brandon wanting to brag about. So I was up there getting laid by my smoking hot girlfriend.
A damn
goat man might have showed up. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I was too busy having sex with my smoking hot girlfriend.
You kind of saw how my girlfriend was. Kind of got intimidated.
I put my hand out. He high-fived me through the window. Said that was a hot chick. I said, I know, goat man. I know. That's why I'm banging her. Anyway, we're bros now. We hang out on the weekends.
I also have a bigger dick than he does. Needless to say.
He's rocking about a 9-inch. I got about 14. Oh, Brandon. You jokes are you.
I just find this hilarious that he's getting involved.
Out
of the corner of his eyes, he's a goat man.
That's like
do?
The ultimate. That's like, okay, this is going well. Ooh, what's that over there? Flaccid. Like, there could be no bigger turnoff than seeing a half man, half goat.
With
like axe. Your dick would just shrivel inside of itself if you saw like a man walking on goat's legs with an axe.
I like to imagine though he's been like, you know, he's been just trying to, you know, wine and dine this lady for like years at this point. And she's just like, babe, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? And he's just looking at the goat man out of the corner of his eye. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing's wrong. Goat man's pacing towards him. No, never mind.
This is how I want to die.
Yeah.
So there's a something moving in the corner of his eye. It's a tall, strange looking, hunched over human walking out of the forest. But here's the catch. It isn't walking towards them. It's walking towards the other car.
Oh, whoa.
So what do? You're Brandon. You're like getting your game on.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
What's going on here? There's this huge like hunched over thing holding something moving towards a car where other people are banging.
Yeah.
You're just going to let the onslaught.
Well, you're flaccid now, so.
Well, yeah, there's no point. You might as well freaking call out.
Just pack it in. Run the thing over. Whatever.
So as the creature begins to get close, Brandon starts to panic. He starts flashing his car lights and honking his horn, trying to warn the other car.
Whoa.
All of a sudden, the other car just takes off, speeding down the road, presumably to just like immediately, they're freaked out. They want to get away from either Brandon, who seems like a sexual predator at this point, or the genuine predator. We have no idea. So they're speeding down the lane and they leave Brandon and his girlfriend with the creature. This is the worst part. Because they're gone, the dark figure slowly turns to face Brandon's truck. And at this point, Brandon can see it's holding something heavy in its hands.
Oh no.
They panic. Brandon tries to start the truck. His girlfriend is screaming as the tall figure begins to approach them. The truck finally starts and Brandon pulls away as fast as he can, but not before the creature takes a wild swing with his weapon, hitting the truck. Whoa. They race home and arrive safely. That's the end of the night.
Aren't you kidding me? You can't write this stuff, people.
It's crazy. So the next morning, Brandon is left like he cannot believe what happened last night. But he's left wondering if the events actually took place. You know, how is anyone ever going to believe him and his girlfriend that this actually happened? Yeah. And that's when he went to check. And sure enough, in the front of his truck is a giant dent where the axe hit his bumper.
Whoa.
It happened, man. The hooves. The axe hole. The dog's head.
The dog.
It's all piling up.
The ancient goat burial site.
It's all piling up. These are just three of the encounters that I picked.
Yeah, and you said there's hundreds.
There's tons.
Wow.
There's actually, you can go to Maryland and there's a center where I think there's a whole like building of research on the goat man.
Are you kidding me?
You can like go on like tours and stuff of the woods. There's a whole website. I have the website. What is the website called? Goatmanhollow.com.
Really?
I have a testimony from it that's actually really interesting. Okay. It's a huge thing. It's as big as, like, to them, as big as, like, the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the origin of the Goatman, as we said before, there's a huge range. Because usually with a lot of these creatures, it's kind of black and white. The Loch Ness Monster is, like, an old creature that lives in the sea. You know? There's not much variant on that.
Yeah.
But with the Goatman, like, some say that he was a scientist who worked at the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center and experimented on goats before an experiment backfired and turned him into a goat.
Was this written before or after, like, Spider-Man?
He was bitten by a radioactive goat.
I like the idea. It's like he got no additional superpowers from being bitten by the goat. He's like, I'll just take an axe.
I'll just take the axe then. Jesus.
I'll be damned if I don't murder some punks.
That would be so terrible. It's like if Spider-Man got bit by the spider and just got like 8 spider legs.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, shit. What am I going to do now? I can't solve crime.
1,000 eggs a day now. Jesus.
But there's also like, there's realistic versions of his origin story. Like others say that he's just an old hermit that lives in the woods that like hates any outreach from the modern world. So like the concept of humans owning pets is why he's like messing them all up.
He's kind of Unabomber style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Like going up to, apparently he's all over Lover's Lane, where people go to bang.
He just hates fun.
Cars, romance. Yeah, that like, he's like, get out of here. These are my woods.
He's a miser.
And yeah, like he could just be an old grumpy man.
Yeah.
He's like a murderous man. But others believe it's much more supernatural and his origins involve the devil and the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's some sort of like cursed demon, like stuck in the woods.
The hooves definitely point that
right?
Direction.
That's a very demonic possession. But the most interesting by far, I actually thought this was really cool. It's a funny thing that you get when you're like reading into these stories, because a lot of them are just like funny, ludicrous, ridiculous stories. And then you'll stumble on a little thing, and you're like, oh, it's actually pretty cool. Like, next thing you know, I'm like buying Goatman merch, like
goatmanhollow.com. Exactly. Do you have any vacancies? I would love to come and work.
So this is a theory that involves a scientist by the name of Stephen Fletcher. Mm-hmm. Now, this is taken from the reputable site goatmanhollow.com.
Uh-huh.
And this is a little history behind the scientist. So born in Baltimore in 1924, Stephen Fletcher graduated from Johns Hopkins University with degrees in medicine and chemistry.
Very prestigious.
I know, an early prodigy. He completed his studies at age 23 and began his career at USDA's research facility in Beltsville, Maryland. Play the creepy goat noise. I'll do the goat noise again. Something like that. But add echo to it. Add echo to it in the mix so it's really menacing. Fletcher's early work focused on animal biosciences and genomics. In 1950, he married Jennifer Zug and they had a daughter called Janie.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty normal dude. He's a scientist. He's got a wife. He's got a kid.
It all makes sense so far. Checks out.
This is where things get pretty sick. Pretty freaking messed up, dude. So only 2 years into their happy marriage, Jenny Fletcher was struck down with a mysterious illness and symptoms that resembled a coma-like state. Neither local doctors nor specialists at Johns Hopkins could revive her. Desperate to find a cure, Fletcher began to experiment with technologies used in his own work, including early versions of gene splicing.
Whoa.
He managed to revive her for a brief period, but she lapsed back into her comatose state.
Whoa.
Now, convinced that his work on a cure had been sabotaged, Fletcher became increasingly enraged and violent, at one point completely destroying one of his research labs.
Whoa.
He then became even more erratic and moved his work into a remote building on the USDA campus and cut off all contact.
Wow.
So, they're saying that maybe Stephen Fletcher, in some way, created the Goat Man.
Yeah.
Through either maybe it's his wife. He tried to heal her with, like, I don't know, do goats have, like, good immune systems or something? Like, strong legs?
Yeah, well, they're good at mountain climbing. I don't know.
And the most difficult mountain of all time to climb is Comus.
Death.
Death, yeah, exactly. I thought that was, like, the coolest theory. And basically, like, that is a straight-up horror film.
Mm-hmm,
the man who's, like, traumatized by his wife's death, moves to the woods, freaking starts doing crazy-ass experiments on animals and humans,
mm-hmm.
and eventually maybe makes this goat man. Maybe he's then killed by the goat man.
Yeah.
And maybe he loves axes. And I don't actually know, that doesn't really play into it at all.
He was also an outdoorsman.
You know, it's not all going to link together.
Yeah.
But I think out of all of the theories, that's my favorite one. Yeah. Stephen Fletcher and the early
gene
splicing.
That's pretty delicious. It's pretty cool, right? I like that.
I mean, that and like the occult devil crab is pretty cool as well. But
yeah.
I didn't research much into that.
I do like the idea of him continuing to work at the USDA. And just like every day, he just gets a bit more goat-like. And he just starts coming in with like, yeah, do you know, look at Steve. He's just not really wearing like shirts anymore.
He's just like a fawn. Like, Steve, when did you learn the harp, man? That's really nice.
I mean, damn it, his research is golden, but
yeah.
He doesn't even talk anymore.
His wife, she's doing backflips. Like, she was in a coma like 3 days ago. What's up with that? She's got a lot of chest hair, though. Yeah. A lot of chest hair, making some real weird noises. A couple blood curves.
Hey, Steve,
screams.
How's that paper coming along?
All right, you joker.
Check back.
You joker. Yeah, I love the like the dean of the university like catching up with him. Now, Stephen, you know that I respect you and you've been a valuable asset to this university, but it's been raised and brought to my concern that some of the fellow teachers here believe that you are in fact a goat. Do you have any claims to defend yourself? He's like eating the bonsai tree on the freaking dean's desk.
Well, very good.
Very good. Continue research. Please refrain from shitting any more on my desk and we'll just call this even. We'll call it even.
I like the idea as well. You know, he starts becoming more and more like a goat and everyone else is like, you know, he might be onto something with his whole look. Everyone else starts dressing the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yo, you hear Steven's a goat? Yeah, he is the greatest of all time. I know it, man. Have you seen his research? Dude kicks ass. Yeah. I think, that's my favorite out of all of them.
That's pretty good.
So I don't know, what are your initial thoughts? Because we've heard a lot of stories ranging from what I assume is a man holding an axe to literal testimonies of seeing like a goat-like man. So
I am going to come down on the side of... It's a man. Oh my God, it's a man.
You think it's
a man? It could not be more of a man if it tried.
But what about Stephen? Stephen Fletcher and his gene splicing, his goddamn six wife and his goat body.
It's an awesome story.
It is.
But like... It's such a leap from him to a goat man with an axe.
Right.
He worked with animals or whatever, but it doesn't mean he's going to become an animal man wielding an axe.
But then do you think over this period of time, someone or people have just been murdering people with axes?
Yeah.
In Maryland? Oh.
Absolutely. Isn't that something people do?
Axe murders?
Yeah.
I don't think so. When was the last time you heard about an axe murder?
Come on. There was like an axe murder in the UK not that long ago.
Shit.
Yeah, like...
He knows how to fly.
Oh my God.
Tell the cops.
Goat man He's in come. London revisited.
We hear a scratching against the walls. Bobby, get inside. I flip-flopped on this.
Okay.
Because yes, you got the real world evidence. You got the hooves on the garden, but it's always going to come back to the fact that if this was a monster, why has he got an axe?
Yeah,
definitely. Why is he wielding an axe? That makes such little sense.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
So I want to believe in the goat man.
I want to believe in the demonic goat man. I mean, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, that's really freaky.
It's really freaky.
But I'm with you. I'm going
to
say no. I think it's
no.
a crazy...
I'm
on board with the hermit thing. I think at one point it was a hermit.
Yeah.
I think it was early days. The Sullivan family probably died of the cold. It was the 1930s, seriously.
They probably died from lack of salt or something.
Or sunlight. Honestly. Or if they just died. It was the 1930s. Plague was around.
For sure.
Well, that was a false claim, probably. I don't think plague was around the 1930s. Yeah. Straight up medieval stuff, not 1930s.
I know.
Yeah, anything pre-1950s
this is
to me
is talking to your granddad. Plague about when you were born, Dad.
I'm with you. I'm going to say false.
Certified. Case is closed.
Case is closed. That is This Paranormal Life wrapping up the case on the Goat Man. Fortunately, we're both saying it's fake. But if you tune in next week, we'll have a new paranormal case to solve. So stick with us right here at This Paranormal Life. If you have your own paranormal stories that you'd like us to investigate, email us in at thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this week's episode, the best way to support This Paranormal Life is to rate and review us on iTunes. The more 5-star reviews that we have, the more this podcast grows and we can continue to bring you a new paranormal tale each and every week.
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast. And every week I bring to you 3 podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.